Listen now to these words from John, the 10th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. I'd like for us to take the 23rd Psalm now, and like to read this in unison, if we could, please. The 23rd Psalm, if you could read this together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of his own namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This is the word of God for the people of God. Appreciated the joint choir anthem this morning. It's amazing how God works together to these things in sermon title and scriptures. Also, in your bulletin, you should find a piece of paper that has listed on it. Where is Robert? Right, I talked about it. No, Joe Decker said 3 points and sit down. I've got 7-point sermon this morning, Joe. So here's the outline for a 7-point sermon. I don't see how long it's going to take. I'm going to refer to that in just a minute, though. I want you to have that available also. Would you pray with and for me, please? Holy and loving God, take this time together to refresh our hearts, our minds, and our souls with the presence of your Spirit, that our lives may be more deeply focused to following your will as our great shepherd. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Scripture is, for me, sometimes like food. You have to eat it, but you have to digest some of it. You let it power permeate your thinking and your reactions. So it's not just enough to read a scripture and sit it down, in my opinion. Sometimes we need to take that passage and let it rest in our hearts for the day. That's one of the things I like about the upper room and what the Presbyterian Church has as their daily devotion, where there's one scripture reading that you're asked to let read permeate your thoughts for the day. I want to suggest that this week I can only ask that you join me in an effort with the 23rd Psalm. I ask this of you every morning or every time when you have your devotion, that you read the 23rd Psalm. Now, if any of you are like me, I have a hard time reading the psalm because I memorized it from the old King James translation. And for me, it's still, yea, though I walk through the valley. You know, I have a hard time getting some of that out. But if you read it intently, sometimes it brings that folk back into focus on it. So I'm asking you to do this, to read the scripture, 23rd Psalm, every day, 7 days. But on each day, I've outlined something I want you to think about in particular. So if you keep this passage, if you keep this paper with you and in your Bible, each day I would ask you to concentrate and let that particular phrase reside in your mind and heart for the day to gain some hope and feeling and newness for that passage. David, the shepherd, prayed these words to his Lord, who had been to him the best of what a shepherd could be, and so much more. This psalm is rich with imagery about sheep husbandry, and some of the verses yield an even deeper meaning when we understand that the good shepherd is Jesus Christ. I can't read this passage without also acknowledging that Jesus and said in John 10:11 that I am the good shepherd. Keeping that in mind and the 23rd Psalm, let's examine what I'd like to ask you to do each day. Day one, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord will work for you. Does that sound a bit brazen to think that God's going to work for you? Perhaps, but I think it's true. The secret of life in Christ is not our work for Him, but the work that He does in and through us. That's the power. The work He does in, through, and for us. Nothing sets us free from fear any more than knowing that this moment, during this day, and in these projects, than knowing that our shepherd is constantly aware of us and our being. We need not want. Like the shepherd who is constantly thinking ahead for places for the sheep to graze, God is constantly trying to fulfill our need. I need to insert here a little bit. Erlene and I have been to Israel twice. We've been blessed with that trip. The first time we went, we were with a group of clergy, couples, clergy and some of them couples. And at the end of the trip to the Holy Land, we ended up in Egypt. And then about two-thirds of the group left, but there was about eight of us that stayed behind for an additional little over a week and spent wandering around through the Judean wilderness. And a part of that time was spent a time in a Bedouin sheep compound. Quite an interesting experience as to hear these shepherds talk about their task, talk about their sheep and the importance of them. We don't have that kind of image in our mind, but when you're in Israel and you see the shepherds walking across what seems to be a barren hillside, you can't help but wonder how in the world God can provide for those sheep, and yet you see the shepherd making sure that they're pointed in a direction where there is some green grass for them to feed on. God is always out there taking care of us. Why then are we still anxious and filled with worry? If we in our hearts believe that Jesus, that God is constantly taking care of us, why do we worry so much? Why do we place those things in such deep concern that cause us such stress? Why do we resist the plans our shepherd has made and think we can find better pastures for our own? Why do we resist those times? I don't know the answer to that. Erlene's father was a county school superintendent in Gasconade County in Herman for his public teaching. But later in his life, he'd resisted for a long time. He entered the ministry at age 61, 62, something like that. You can only resist so long. God's got plans for you. Why do we resist those plans? Why do we seem amazed constantly with the unpredictable things God has happened in our lives? Unpredictable things occur all the time. When we can say, "The Lord is my shepherd," we can affirm with great confidence, "I shall not want." When we move from the vagueness of generalities, from the religious ideas or from creeds and rites and rituals into the dynamic personal relationship then we can say, more powerful than ever, there's nothing I want. The Lord is my shepherd. Not only will the Lord work for us, but the Lord will provide for us. He leads us day by day into exactly what we need. Green pastures and still waters is what the sheep need. And the shepherd makes sure that there's available green pastures and still waters. He leads us in those times. Sheep will not usually lie down until they're fed and satisfied and have no fear. What little I have read about sheep husbandry, and I did go to the computer and look up some of that this week, leads me to understand that they can't make a sheep lie down. You can't kick it down. You can't push it down until while it's still hungry or afraid. A contented sheep is the only one that will lie down peacefully. A sheep must be free of fear. And also its coat must be cleared of the many parasites that the wood disturb it if it were to rest in the grass. Still water is important for a sheep. Still water. They don't like the heavy currents because if they get their fur too much in their sheep wool, then they become heavy and they get water laden and they might even drown. They like the still waters. So the shepherd's constantly looking for places to find the still waters for them. The shepherd knows all this, and the shepherd is in constant search for green grass and still waters, providing for the sheep. He restores my soul. We need to understand something about a sheep here. A sheep that is cast down is a sheep that can't get up. It's on its back for some reason, either in a ravine or the water or the heavy laden with the water or the wool has gotten to any. They get on their back and they cannot get up. It's called a cast. I looked that up too. The sheep is cast down. Let's turn those words around. Downcast. Have you ever been downcast? Have you ever been a time in your life when things just didn't look right for you? We need something about the power to help us get up. Downcast is being in a condition in which you can't get back on your own feet by yourself. Has anybody ever been in that place besides me? Downcast, really can't get up. Now, putting a sheep back on its feet is also a tender process. That must be done by the shepherd again. Since being on its back has caused the blood to drain from its legs and feet, the shepherd must rub the legs until the sheep is able to stand. The shepherd knows the right moment that he can let them go and let the sheep get up. What does that mean for us? The Lord will put us back on our feet. The Lord puts us back on our feet. David knew how the Lord takes care of the downcast people. I believe David wrote this psalm later in his life when he could look back and remember all the times that had been on his back and unable to move because he was paralyzed by the failure of his life. The Lord wants to get us on our feet, get us going again, and keep us going. The Lord restores my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. David used familiar terms. Righteousness is a right relationship with the Lord based on accepting his love and forgiveness as a gift of grace. We talked about that last week. As a gift of grace. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We have the status because he has declared us forgiven, accepted, and cherished us for eternity. He will not turn away from or let us go. This reassuring verse also means that we can depend on the Lord to guide our decisions, that will keep that will help us in the center of His will. Our task is to surrender our decision-making process before Him, before the decision is made, giving ourselves time for Him to condition our thinking and liberate our wills, and then we can be sure that we'll do everything we can that the path is right for Him. It is right, but will He help us grow in the realization of our righteousness in Him? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Those Methodists in the group, if any of them ever heard me do a funeral, know that for the last 30 years, for every funeral I've conducted, I pay honor and homage to my grandmother Parrish. Grandma's my matron saint. Grandma died when she was 100. Grandma prayed for me every day of her life, and if I'm sadly mistaken, I think she's probably still up there, being dead, passed away 30 years ago. She's probably still tugging at God's coat sleeve, saying, "Are you taking care of Robert today?" But Grandma, I went to visit Grandma one day when she was living at the Presbyterian Manor in Lee's Summit, and she wanted me to read the scripture for her. So I said, "Okay, Grandma, what do you want me to read today?" "Well, let's read the 23rd Psalm." And I said, "Grandma, I read that to you the last time and the last time and the last time. Is there something different you'd like me to read today?" 23rd Psalm. "Yes, Grandma." So I started reading that psalm. And as I started reading that psalm, she said, I'll stop you when I want to stop." I said, "Okay, Grandma." And I started reading. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley, the darkest valley," I said, "yea, though I walk through the valley." She put her hand on my knee and said, "Stop, Robert. Do you know what you just read?" "Yes, Grandma." "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow." "Robert, do you realize what you just read?" "Yes, Grandma." "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow." And she stood me again. She said, "Robert, for me, that word through is probably one of the most powerful words in all the scripture. Because it tells me that this life is not a boxed canyon. It's not a dead-end street. It tells me that there's life on the other side of this. And we walk through this valley into a new life. Through the valley of the shadow of death." We can only go that valley that's sometimes hard for us to get through. But God's presence with us, guiding us, Lord, walking through the valley of the shadow of death is such a powerful image for me now. Because it empowers me to realize that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I have no evil to fear. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Folks, that's powerful. That's powerful. "On the sixth day, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies," filled with meaning, not only because of the activities of a shepherd, but also because of the nomadic customs of that time. For the shepherd, the table meant those grazing lands high in the mountains that could only be reached after the snow receded. The shepherd carefully prepared the grazing area for the sheep, sometimes walking ahead, making sure there were no briars or no thorns that would cause the sheep problems. But David also knew of another custom, that a person could not be attacked while eating in another man's tent. If someone came after him, he could not be attacked while he was sitting at the table of a friend. If you could reach a friend's tent, even though your enemies were in hot pursuit, you were safe at the table. The Lord feeds us with His grace and holds off the enemies of life, the enemies of our soul, the things that cause us to be afraid, frustrated, and anxious. He anointeth our head with oil. That's an important phrase for us to look at. It's a healing ministry of the shepherd. For the sheep was a very important for that one to be healing. As a matter, when I was, one of the things in Israel that kind of took me by surprise was when we, evening we were visiting with some of the shepherds, we asked about the sheep, and one of the men talked about the sheep and just did this to indicate sheep weren't very bright. And it took a lot of work on the part of the shepherd to make sure that they were protected and provided the kind of nourishment that they needed in order to be what the people need. The healing ministry of the shepherd was a very important task to make sure that they were okay. The anointing of oil by the shepherd was made up of olive oil, sulfur, and spices to keep off the gnats and flies and insects, and to penetrate the cuts and bruises on the face of the sheep. Anointing in the Hebrew Christian tradition means the blessing of the Lord, the healing of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord. To be anointed by Him is to have Him place His loving hand upon us and fill us with His Spirit. There's certain times in my life when I have felt that comforting presence. Just, I can't describe it other than say that symbolically I feel like God's hand resting on me, comforting me in time of distress and need. 7th, in every situation, He will invade our needs with mercy and goodness. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word follow here, used here, is to pursue. Just as the shepherd's dogs follow the flock, keeping them together with their watchful care, the Lord will come to us with goodness and mercy in those times when we are afraid. With goodness and mercy. The goodness of the Lord includes His consistency. He cannot be other than He is, forgiving, accepting, caring for us and knowing our needs, comes to us, pursuing us in spite of our rejection of Him, using everything to keep us close to Him and His flock. His mercy and His grace are the expressions of forgiveness before we ever ask. Bathing the hurting places of our heart with tenderness. The Lord changes our turbulent emotions with the assurance that He will be with us in spite of everything. In spite of everything. He will never let us go. David wrote confidently, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. The word really means abiding places or abodes, promising not only eternal security for our relationship with the Lord now. There are many times we cry out, Lord, help me, and He's with us. He gives us exactly what we need, a place in His heart and an assurance that not even death can separate us from Him. We are alive forevermore. He will pursue you and never let you go. The Lord is my shepherd. Is He yours? Yes, He is. Claim His love. Trust Him. Praying the shepherd's psalm daily this week. Kneading it like you would dough into your heart and memorizing and repeating it promises will set you free, I hope, with a new freedom from fear this week and forever. The Lord is my shepherd. Is He yours? And the people of God said,